Welcome everyone to another edition of Community I'm so loving that song. Anyway, we are thrilled to have in studio with us today State Representative Tony Jurgens. He, of course, represents 54B, and he's here to just give us a little sneak preview on the upcoming session, some things that he has been doing lately, and we'll find out what else he would like to chat about. First of all, 54B, what does that encompass, please?
First of all, thanks for having me in today, Mo. I appreciate it. I always enjoy these conversations. District 54B is about a half or a third of Cottage Grove. For the most part, it's east of Jamaica Avenue. There is a little bit west of Jamaica down by Applebee's and Cottage Grove.
Okay, so let me just think about this. Jamaica, okay? Yep, I know where that is, okay?
Okay, so east of, for the most part, again, east of Jamaica in Cottage Grove, and that includes Old Cottage Grove, and it includes the city of Afton. And it also includes Denmark Township in Washington County. Then you cross the bridge, and it's all of city limits of Hastings and Ninninger Township to our west. Once you leave Hastings to the south, it's no longer my district. That, I believe, is Pat Garofalo's district. There's other reps in the area. Barb Haley is Red Wing, so you get a little down in that direction, and then you run into her district. But if you live in Hastings, then you're in 54B.
Okay. So you encompass then more than one city. That's got to be tough.
Right. The way it is right now, each state representative has about 39,500 constituents. Now, that'll change. As you know, we're coming up on the census year. And my guess is that just the population of the state is growing. And so everybody will have, I have no idea what the district will look like. It could have very minor changes, or it could have a complete retooled look. I mean, we just don't know at this point. But I expect that we'll have just over 40,000 constituents at that point.
And what's the 39,000? Why that number, do you think?
They just divided up. There's 134 House districts throughout the state. There's 67 Senate districts. So our Senate district, and every Senate district, has two House districts within it. So in our case, there's a 54A and a 54B. You go all over the state, there's a 1A, 1B, and so forth.
When you think about the new census coming in, how much longer after that would redistricting happen if it was going to happen?
Well, the census will be taking place this spring, so the election this fall will be under the same districts, and then next year when they'll start the redistricting process. So in the 2022 election, then it'll be all new districts. And again, they could change a lot or they could change very little. The district that represents Hastings now, years ago, 20 years ago, was shaped almost like a barbell. It included the city of Red Wing and then a strip between Red Wing and Hastings.
When
and
Denny Mack was our...
No, it was actually before that. It was Jerry Dempsey was the state representative. Yes.
Okay.
And about the time Denny came in, 2002, I think it was, there had already been redistricting, and the district looked similar, not exact, but similar to what it looks like today.
So of your three cities that you represent, which one has the most growth?
The most growth, I would say Cottage Grove does. There's been quite a few new residential
in
areas
your
going
area?
Up. Some of it's in my area. Some of it is on the other part of Cottage Grove, down in the Mississippi Dunes area. But if you're familiar with Cottage Grove, you know where 70th Street is. Mm-hmm. Carboni's is on one end and then goes to the west to Jamaica.
Yes.
The land to the north of that, it's kind of pie-shaped. It's the old military drive, military road.
Yes.
That whole area has been developed, and that is considered part of my district. So there's a lot of new growth in that part of town.
Okay. Well, it's good to see.
Yeah, it is. It is.
That is going to be interesting to watch how that unfolds. So when does the new session start, please?
February 11th.
Okay.
So the way we're on a biennium, a two-year biennium, and the first year of the biennium, which was 2019, that's a budget year. So on a budget year, we start earlier. We start right after the 1st of January. We did all that last year that we did fund the state for the biennium. So session starts a little bit later in the non-budget years. This is sometimes referred to as a bonding year because the big order of business that we'll be taking up will be a bonding bill And we can talk a little bit more about that as well. But we're starting on February 11th. Session will be just a little bit shorter. Finish the third week of May every year constitutionally.
Promise?
Nope, no promises. That's when we're supposed to finish. Fortunately, many years, no matter how hard we try to get everything done on time, the negotiations aren't really as fruitful as you would like to see them towards the end of session. And we might end up going in the last couple of years since I've been there a day or 2 days or 3 days into a special session to actually pass the bills that have been agreed upon.
So what does a bonding session mean, please?
So the state of Minnesota has certain responsibilities. The state owns colleges, it owns universities, has public buildings all over the state through the DNR and other programs and other departments and agencies as well. And so we have a bonding bill to help take care of, put a new roof on a school, on a dorm at a university, or to put a new furnace into buildings that are owned by the state of Minnesota. And in addition to that, cities, counties, other municipalities request help with certain projects. For example, here in Hastings, I have two bonding bill requests. One is for asset preservation at City Hall. We all know that's the second oldest courthouse in the state. You have to take care of the assets that you own, and so we have a bonding request for $2 million to help primarily with the dome and the roof, and some of that is original from 1850 or whatever it is. So we've got a bonding request in for that, not for the whole project. Whoever's asking for the money is generally putting up a portion of it, half of the cost. The other request that we have, we've talked a lot on this station about Highway 316 and the safety in that issue and the speed of the drivers. MnDOT has been working on a solution there, working with the City of Hastings and the residents, and there is funding available for that project, but not quite all of the funding. And so we have a bonding request in to help get funding for the trail portion of that project. So if we can get that, then that'll help get that project to completion as well.
So when you say there is a request in, when the request comes to you, obviously the pile of money for the whole state is limited, I would assume. So how does it work that you ask for a cut?
Well, the requests for bonding throughout the state are well over $5 billion. That's
with
billion
a B?
With a B. And we don't have that kind of money, so a lot of very good projects will get left out. The actual size of the bonding bill is one of the things that takes us so long to negotiate. So the state of Minnesota, the bonding agencies have told the state that you could bond $3 to $3.5 billion without hurting your bond rating at all. I don't know how many of your listeners have gone to the bank or a mortgage company to see what they qualify for and have been told you qualify for $750,000. It doesn't mean that it's smart to spend all of that, right? Because you still have to make payments. You still have to pay that back. Historically, the state, the last several years, has averaged about just around $1 billion in a bonding year, maybe $800 million to $1 billion, somewhere in that ballpark.
Now, and you have $5 billion in requests.
Yes, we have $5 billion in requests.
For this year only?
For this year only, yeah. I don't even know the exact number. It's over $5 billion. And sometimes people just know better and they don't even put the request in if they're not quite ready for it. But sometimes in a budget year, a non-bonding year, many years will pass a small $200 million bonding bill or something along those lines. So my guess is we will probably perhaps inch over $1 billion this year. I know the governor just came out recently with his request that was in the just over $2 billion. I was disappointed that neither of the Hastings projects were in his bonding bill. But the good news is the governor can only sign what we put on his desk. And the bonding bill will start in the House of Representatives. So we'll be working to get our projects included in that bill. I think that if it's in there, I would hope that the governor would then support it. What he proposed would be a record bonding bill, and it didn't have the projects in there. So I was a little disappointed to see that, but we'll keep working and get those in.
Has he seen the Hastings requests?
He's aware of them, because my understanding is that he did notify city officials to let them know that the projects were not in there. The House of Representatives we do bonding tours every year. I spent 16 or so days on a bus traveling the state of Minnesota with other members of the House Capital Investment Committee.
So not just this area?
No, all over the state. All over the state. But I was very happy that we were able to get the house bonding tour to stop here in Hastings back in October, I believe it was.
I remember that. Yep.
So they were the other members were actually in City Hall, and they were able to look up at the domed ceiling, and they know what the requests are. We were out on Highway 316, and we sat there for several minutes before we could turn from Tuttle on to Highway 316. So they saw firsthand what the needs are and why we're asking for the money, and that's very helpful. So it's not just what they see in a PowerPoint presentation during a committee hearing. We did have committee hearings last year on both of those bills, so members of the committee heard the projects that day. They visited here in the fall, and once we get back into session, hopefully, if needed, we'll have committee hearings again, and we'll bring people back in, and they can help to sell our case, you know, to make our case. But at this point, then members can say, "Oh, yeah, I was there. I remember that. I remember trying to turn from Tuttle onto Highway 316 and how long it took. I remember standing in looking up at the dome ceiling in the City Hall." So it really does help to actually get there and see the project.
What were some of the other projects you got a chance to see around the state?
There's a lot of water-related projects.
Okay.
In a lot of different ways. The water level, the river levels, both the Minnesota River and the Mississippi River, are extremely high, and there's bank erosion from the high waters. And so you have, for example, down in Mankato, they have a well, a city water well, that's only less than 100 feet to the Minnesota River, and the river bank has been eroding. So they need to help to move that well or to shore up the shoreline there. So there's a lot of water-related and river issues. There's also a lot of the wastewater treatment plants all over the state where people need to upgrade because their cities are growing or for whatever reason. They need to have state-of-the-art wastewater treatment, and so we have some cities that are requesting money there. We also have just clean water wells, you know, rural water in southwestern Minnesota where they need to expand their rural water capabilities. So a lot of water-related issues, and then there's always, like I mentioned early on, the universities that might need to tear down a building and rebuild a new state-of-the-art, like the University of Minnesota wants to do with their chemistry building. We went through the chemistry building, and it looks like it looked in 1930 when the building was built, or 1920 or whatever it is. And so in order for the University of Minnesota to compete with other Big Ten schools with their chemistry program, they would like a new state-of-the-art facility for that. So there's those types of requests, and then the less, you know, the projects that maybe aren't as interesting, but you need a new roof. If your roof is leaking, just like we do at our homes, we have to take care of what we own. There's buildings that are inefficient with their plumbing and heating, and so they need to update those, just like we have to take care of what we own. So does the state of Minnesota.
So a lot of these buildings you're talking about are at colleges and what else did you say?
Yeah, colleges, universities, the DNR has buildings, other state agencies that have buildings throughout the state. We were in, I think it was up in the Bemidji area, where there were three or four different DNR buildings on one location, and they want to merge those into, and they were all old and not the greatest area to work in. And they want a new build. I think they actually have another building that they want to expand and have everybody move into that area, which then they can sell that piece of property to the University to Bemidji State because it's right next door. So any building that the state owns, and it's in the thousands. I used to know the number of how many. It's really mind-boggling how much the state of Minnesota owns. That's a discussion for a whole other day, but while we do own it, we need to take care of them.
What's the most exciting thing for you looking forward to the session? Well, do you get excited to see people you haven't seen in a while?
Yeah, it is. I've used the example before that it's sort of like when you're in college. In college, you're in your dorms and you're going to classes and you meet these friends. And then at the end of the school year, everybody goes their separate way for the summer. That's kind of what the interim is like. You know, I'm close. I'm 20 minutes away from the Capitol, so I can drive up, and I do once or twice a week if I have something to do. But if you're Dan Fabian from Roseau, or you're, you know, Mary Murphy from up by Duluth, you're probably not going to make the trip in as frequently as I can. And so when you get back into session, it is kind of fun because everybody's coming back together. It's kind of like starting the new school year.
And what is session? What are the hours? Is it every day? I don't even know these basic questions.
Yeah, the days are long.
Okay.
And typically early on, they try not to schedule much on Fridays so that those that do have a 5-hour trip home have just a little bit more time to get there. As we get later in the session, not only will we be working on Fridays, but sometimes we work through the weekend too. Just as an example, I have 8 o'clock a.m. Committee meetings, and so I usually leave the house at 6:30 or 6:45 so I can get there and do some work before I go to committee hearings. And we'll have, besides the committee hearings, I'll have appointments all day long with people, some from Hastings that are coming up to see me or from other areas that are coming in. Between that and floor session times when we're actually on the house floor, there's always things going on in the evening too where different organizations want to get together so that they can talk about what their legislative priorities are. So it's not uncommon to not get home till 8, 9, even 10 o'clock at night.
How do you keep your business going, Tony? Because you're an entrepreneur.
Not very well. Not very well. There just isn't time. Some people do a better job of it than I do, but you know, I'm an independent insurance agent, and I do very little of that. Even in the interim, there's so much stuff going on, so many things to do, that I spend very little time working on my business. It is a sacrifice. You know, I enjoy what I do, though. I enjoy, you know, what it allows me to do, to get out in the community and work with people and meet with people. And, you know, I just recently did ride-alongs with the law enforcement in my district. I did 4 different ride-alongs, the Cottage Grove Police Department, the Washington County Sheriff's Department, Hastings Police Department, and the Dakota County Sheriff's Department. I wrote about that, and it was in the newspaper just this past week, about my experience and what I saw. It was also on my Facebook page if you want to check that out. You know, I saw the law enforcement, what they deal with on a nightly basis, daily basis. I saw how they treated the public, which was with respect and empathy. People that were having a very bad day, you know, probably the worst day in their life, you know, some of the decisions that they made are going to have repercussions for years. But the police officers that I saw that were dealing with them, they weren't judgmental. They explained, here's what's going to happen. Here's what you did. Here's what, you know, here's what you can expect in the near future. And I saw a lot of compassion from our officers, which was fun to see.
I bet it was, and what a great thing for you to do as well. Great to see you.
Great to see you as well.
Representative Tony Jurgens, and the upcoming session does start on February 11th, and I know then you're going to be coming in and chatting it up with Mike, our news guy, on a more regular basis. So great to see you.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Mo.
And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.